Paper and pencil, stencils and paint, cameras and a microphone. These are the tools used by incarcerated youth to tell their stories, to share their expertise.
We.
When I close my eyes,
I see myself in detention.
I see myself dreaming.
I see myself free.
If you were me, you would know
that I'm scared of sharks,
that I'm not a criminal,
that I love being outside,
that I'm scared of losing my mom. That I feel I would.
For 8 weeks this summer, youth in Richmond's Juvenile Detention Center came to the nonprofit Art 180 to be a part of the Performing Statistics Initiative. In the bright and open space, they were guided by adult mentors and artists. After working with poet John Blake, the youth created their own pieces. I helped out by doing an audio listening session and recording and mixing their poems.
If my voice were heard,
I would say
that I'm determined,
but I need an education, that I want to succeed, that there's always beauty in the struggle.
I would tell you to listen,
to see that I matter because I'm somebody,
because I am black,
because the system is taking my life,
because I am human.
Stencil artist and educator Kate DeCiccio assisted the youth in making large and brightly colored portraits overlaid with text. I need a job, not a jailhouse. And I'm smarter than you think. Don't incarcerate me, educate me. Gina Lyles is Art 180's program coordinator.
They were excited to see these portraits and these pictures turn out to look exactly like them and reflect who they were. And then the words and the poetry that were around the art pieces were just as powerful. So,
the teens faced many challenges before reaching the juvenile justice system. Lyle says their backgrounds are similar to hers.
First and foremost, they come from lower economics, not a lot of opportunities. Parents are incarcerated. Parents that are not incarcerated are basically taking care of a single-parent home, more than one child in the home. The finances are low. Sometimes these kids are not eating right or don't have things they need to be, you know, to be able to be productive in school and also in their communities.
The youth also made short films. Mark Strandquist is Performing Statistics' creative director. He says they didn't want to tell the teens what to make, but they started with a question. How can we keep kids free?
And so they then worked with filmmakers from across the city to, in 2 to 3 days, wrote, storyboarded, shot, and edited a series of films that sort of answer that question about what can we do to keep kids free.
I'm 15 years old. I'm strong. I'm 15 years old. I am willing. I am 15 years old. I am dedicated. I'm 15 years old. I have brothers and sisters. I'm 15 years old. I want to help my mom. I'm 15 years old. And no one will have me.
One of my kids did a film about needing a job and how just because he's 15 doesn't mean that he should not be allowed to work. And that's based on the laws. And that, you know, a lot of these kids, again, they come from single families. They have one mom. The mom has three kids. They know their moms are scrambling, and they want to help. If they can't get a job, then what's the other alternative? So that's what that film was about, not having opportunities for employment because of their age.
Dear Jeremiah, you're 5 months old today, and I can't wait to see you when I get out.
And then another film was about, I had a young man who actually has a son himself. His film was about actually writing a letter to his son and talking as he's writing a letter, telling his son that he didn't want him in a situation like he was in it, that he loved him and he can't wait to see him walk and see him crawl and see him smile. And I'm not sure what his home situation was concerning his dad, but it seemed like to me that he wanted to do things differently. And even though he was incarcerated, he still was optimistic that he was going to change and that he was going to be able to support his kid. So beautiful, beautiful piece.
The youth were exposed to new skills and creative outlets, but they also answered a big question most had never been asked before. What do you and your community need to be successful?
A lot of the project isn't about looking to kids to talk about how tough their life is or, you know, how sorry they should be, but about asking them in a very real and honest way, what do you need to stay out of the system? What do other youth need to never end up in it?
The Arts Camp is just one part of the Performing Statistics Initiative, which continued and expanded this year following a $500,000 grant from the Robbins Foundation. Legal Aid Justice Center and the Rise for Youth Coalition educate participants on the school-to-prison pipeline, its costs, and Virginia's status leading the country in youth referrals to law enforcement. The Richmond Police Department is another major partner. Recruits, beat police, detectives, and school resource officers see and discuss the art and training manuals made by the youth. They have conversations with advocates for families and experts in trauma and adolescent brain development. All these partners came together at a community forum to discuss solutions.
So now we should again have dinner table, which includes a couple young people, police officer, youth advocate, and an outer circle.
At the Richmond Public Library, youth, officers, advocates, teachers, and other community members break into groups. They're given scenarios where a teen was arrested. Their task, rewrite the script with a better outcome, one where the youth doesn't enter the juvenile justice system.
Mark is a 14-year-old African-American freshman. He is close with his mother. One morning, Mark is late.
In one scenario, a student is late for class. A school resource officer lets several white students proceed down the halls, but Mark is stopped.
Mark turns to walk to his class, and the school resource officer grabs him by his upper arm. Mark's immediate reaction is to try to pull away from the officer. At that point, the officer yells at Mark, grabs both of his arms, and puts handcuffs on him.
I get you can't know all the kids. Most high schools are very, very big, but if it's one GM, like, I know him before. He's out of class right now. He's trying to get on a one-on-one basis, so it just can happen again. Like, hey, Mark, what's going on, man? What's going on? Why are you out of class again? Kind of a thing.
And the physical contact is definitely an escalation.
Yeah.
He's not put his hands on that child.
Not necessary. And I noticed in the story he also said that he was worried and upset. So if that was probably visible.
Each table includes at least one youth, some who have experienced incarceration, and a Richmond police officer. Chief Alfred Durham is seated at this one.
Two things. One, what is the school's policy on tardiness, right? Reporting late for school, right? And again, what is the SRO, that officer, I think it's just, I'm not sure if you say SRO, but the officers, what is his duties and responsibilities, right? Is he within policy, you know? Not saying to grab him by the arm and all that and put him in cuffs. There was no reason for an arrest, I can tell you that now. But again, I think that's what we had to take into consideration. What is the school's policy? Should that student know that he may be supposed to report to the office, right? The administrative office, or maybe report to class if you're late.
So respectfully, Chief Durham, I think we tend to focus so much more on policy and procedure as opposed to being present in the interaction, right? So whether or not it was wrong for him to be there at that place in time, or whether or not he was late, or whether or not there was a specified consequence for that, I think it could have been handled differently, right? So we're saying, and I know you say, officer, well, maybe the officer...
Other tables are working through scenarios where youth are arrested after standing in a noisy group outside a pharmacy, another for using a cell phone in class. The groups ponder, what were the youth thinking? Was defiance a sign of distress? What kinds of de-escalation tactics would work?
All right, so officer has asked you all then, if you don't mind, can you either go back in, do your shopping, or if you're waiting for someone, move over here, otherwise, you know, sort of move along. What's the response then?
Okay, thank you. You have a great night. I apologize for the inconvenience.
An hour later, representatives act out their group's rewritten scripts. In a few, the police officer and youth switch roles.
I noticed you're a little late. Everything okay? What's going on?
What do you mean?
You seem a little worried, that's all.
I'm just trying to make it to class. I had to turn in my project.
Well, let me make sure you get to class. Make sure your teacher knows you ain't late. Can I talk to you for a second? That's okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
Through this exercise, the teams worked out some difficult questions. Where's the responsibility for change? Is it on the young person or the adult? What about systemic issues? What happens when there's more respect and compassion? At the end, facilitator Michael Rode with the Center for Performance and Civic Practice asked participants, what do they want to remember from tonight?
something I want to remember from tonight is that people are actually willing to sit down at the table and talk about different ways of actually addressing the problem instead of, you know, coming up with a one-size-fits-all solution.
The diversity of the people that were willing to show up and participate in this.
Say something that I want to remember is that all perspectives are relevant to initiating conversation to find a solution to whatever the problem may be.
I'd like to remember the power of community because this is amazing. I really didn't know what to expect. I didn't know who would show up, who would care. And to see the diverse faces in here has really warmed my heart and given me hope. And I just want everyone to know that it's not one person's responsibility. It's not on the police. It's not on the community. It's everyone's effort and power of community.
I just want to say I'm excited to be here. I want to say on the officer part, because I can only speak on that right now, I'm speaking as an officer. It's extremely important that each individual officer build a relationship with everyone in the community they serve. That is the most important part, whether it's a juvenile, an adult, a teacher, the principal, whoever you are, the homeless man, you must build a relationship within your community because you are the people we serve. If we build that relationship, when I go ask her to move, she already knows me, by the way. She gonna say, you got it, Pete. That's what they call me, Pete, all right? That's the relationship. It's extremely important. We must build it. That's the officer side. Thank y'all for listening to me.
The thing I want to remember tonight is our courageous young men and women for coming out and taking a stand and being a part of something so special in the community, as well as our police officers that came and volunteered today. And you're just taking part of something that's amazing, very powerful. And we need you all just as well as you need us. You know, I want to tell you that I love all of you.
You know, all of our work, we want to sort of not only create space where youth voices are really held up and celebrated, but that the structure of our art, our exhibits, our programming, our events, you know, really take things into the next level. Like go beyond just witnessing an issue, but try to actually solve it. And I think what we saw at the forum was a way that very diverse group of people, you know, a couple hundred folks in the room could come together and try to actually understand an issue from a human perspective, understand it from the youth and police perspective, but then also layer in all of their own expertise.
I just want folks to be just as excited about this change and what we're trying to do here and the kids' voices. Be just as excited about this as you are about the elections, as you are about Christmas, as you are about your birthday, you know what I'm saying? As you are about getting a new car or sending your kid off to college, be excited about this. I mean, I know that people have jobs, they have lives, and they're busy from day to day and may not have time, but something as small as, I don't know, just stopping by and checking out the artwork and writing them a note saying that, hey, here's some words of encouragement. It's a small thing that you can do. Continue doing this work. We're proud of you. We need you. Those words of encouragement, you know, so it's not always actually just being in the same room, same space at the same time. That one small thing goes a long way.
The work created by Youth in Juvenile Detention during Performing Statistics Summer Program will be exhibited at Richmond's Art 180 before traveling across the state and the country. The exhibit is called I Am Powerful, the title of one of the youth's group poems.
I am powerful.
I live a lifestyle that nobody knows. People shooting guns with light from the sun.
Where I'm from, we don't have a sky or enough high school graduates.
I was surrounded by potheads, but realized they were just kids like me.
In and out of these brick walls, but light is all I want to see. Just because I'm from the bricks doesn't mean I don't fit in college getting a degree.
I'm smarter than you think.
I am 16.
15.
14 years old. I am not a criminal.
I am not an animal.
I am powerful.
When I was growing up,
my neighborhood sounded like police sirens,
smelled like old piss,
and felt like a place with no hope.
But it shouldn't be where you are from,
but where you want to be.
Give me freedom, and I bet I'll succeed.
If I had a superpower,
it would be to save people from dying.
To take my mom's cancer away.
If justice transformed,
I would be doing work instead of time.
You'd hear me say we need freedom for unity. You'll see what I did as an outlet instead of a crime.
Teach me math, science,
reading,
and language arts.
Believe that I am powerful.
And I will become something one day.
I am outspoken.
And I cannot be broken. I would not be ashamed of who I am.
Believe me.
Believe me.
Believe me.
I am powerful.
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 For Virginia Currents, I'm Catherine Kump, WCBE News.